Hey, Wingman Nation, welcome to the Wingman Men's Moment Podcast. This is your host, John Delaney, hanging at the Hangar in beautiful Lakeland, Florida, with Wingman co-founders, Pastor Jay Dennis and Randy Ferreira. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hello, John.
Hello, Randy.
Hello, Rocco.
Hello. Well, we're excited to have you with us. We are moving on to something different. Now we're talking about Christmas.
Yes.
It's right around the corner. And boy, I tell you what, it did not take long for Christmas stuff to get popping, didn't it?
My goodness. It's like they skipped Halloween, skipped Thanksgiving. Got to Christmas in August.
People were putting up the lights in my neighborhood literally the day after Christmas.
Oh.
So it's like the lights in the house across the street from me looks like, you know, one of those
yeah.
that you can see from the space station.
So Brother Griswold.
Brother Griswold. Yes, yes. Well, we're excited that you're with us this morning or whatever time of day you're listening to us. This is called Stopping to Think About Christmas. We're going to be looking at Luke 2:8-15. Brother Randy, take it away, man.
Hey, great. Thank you, John. Good morning.
Good morning, Randy. Good to see you.
Good to be here.
Oh, yes, sir.
Good to be seen, as they say.
Not viewed.
So we're going to talk a little bit about stopping to think about Christmas. I'm going to read Luke 2:8-15, just parts of that to sort of warm us up about Christmas and the Jesus' birth. So it starts in number 8. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Can you imagine that?
Being
shepherds in the field? I mean, that would be terrifying. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." I always wonder, though, what do you think the voice of that angel is? Is it like, "Lying in the manger"? Or, "Hi, guys, I'm an angel." You know, like,
I have to believe that they had to do it with a lot of passion and force.
Yeah.
if he's telling them to not fear, it's probably one of those voices that scared them.
Could be a little intimidating,
it's like,
right?
What is that?
Yeah. Well, even if it was a soft voice, if you're hearing it out
there,
like, what the heck?
Is the sheep talking to me?
Yeah, the sheep are talking again? And number 15, I'll jump to that. It says, "When the angels had finally left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" So we talked about our Christmases now only just a few weeks away, guys. Yeah. And where does the time go between Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
It's like there's no time. You turn around once and you're at Christmas. It's like warp speed.
Yep.
You know, there's so much to do during this time, like, of course, buying gifts and decorating the house and planning the meals. We happen to plan Italian food during Christmas,
yes.
But, you know, events, attending pageants, or writing the dreaded by all Christmas letter. All while continuing to spin the plates you already have spinning. Yes. I mean, that's just like we're juggling a million different things, and now we have all this stuff that goes along with Christmas.
And I tell you, you have a lot of creative people who do all kinds of things, like writing these dreaded letters.
Yeah,
as we mentioned,
I get one every year.
You know, life is good; it's never been better.
Oh, yeah,
and I can't wait till next year.
I get one every year. I think you guys might have met Jack Levine. He's a Messianic Jew converted to Christianity. He's a great guy, and he might even be listening. So, Jack, hey brother. But I get that letter from you every year, and it's not dreaded. It's, some of them are really good.
They are.
You know, but
that's what you said off air. Sorry about that, Jack. So we all have our own traditions at Christmas, of course, and because it's a special time.
Yes.
So, you know, everybody's background and what their parents did, and then you develop your own traditions and traditional foods you like to eat. And so, but you know what? There's also people who struggle with depression during this time and anxiety and loneliness during this family-focused time. And we forget about that.
Yeah, we do.
There's a lot of single people that, or elderly people, or just people that don't have anybody.
Right.
And so it is a very stressful time. We're all trying to be happy and have fun and decorate and,
sure,
you know, so, but maybe they lost a loved one even, or, and some have difficult memories that happened during their childhood. That's another thing. So during this time, so some have been abused or abandoned, and this season has a negative impact on them emotionally. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I think we have to keep that in mind. Obviously, we say it's the most wonderful time of the year. But being in the ministry for almost 44 years now, I've watched the dive that so many people take around Christmas time, and they had legitimate reasons, but the loneliness and depression seems to be exacerbated during that time.
Yeah. Because they remember past things that aren't there anymore.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Here's what I declare. I just hope I go before Angie does.
Then you won't be lonely. Then.
That's it. She'll do just fine. And I would be.
Yes. And, you know, statistically, that is the case. Men do go before the women in a relationship.
Yeah.
And so it's, I don't know if that's genetic or they just drive us to our grave early or what. I don't know.
We've been unloading too many dishwashers.
Yes. My back. No, but it is statistic.
I put a roof. She put a roof on the house. I didn't know.
All right, back on track, guys.
Here we go. But, you know, we as Christians have to keep focusing on the real reason for Christmas and never lose sight of that, even in our stressful or lonely moments. Consider this. Because of the birth of Jesus Christ, who was fully God and fully man, there is undeniable hope for our world, hope for your family, hope for you. That's our message here at Wing Man Nation. Mm-hmm. For those who criticize Christianity or dismiss Christmas as just another day off, it's important to understand how Jesus' birth changed the world. His impact on the world and history is now inarguable.
Yes.
It's never been arguable. You cannot argue that Jesus Christ was alive.
And changed the world.
This same Jesus, whose birth divided time, is as real right now as he's ever been. Mm-hmm. And he's still transforming lives. We see it, guys, in marriages and families and relationships. And we've even seen people be healed physically, and praise God for that. But it's always, and I will say this very carefully, it's always the believer that needs to come back to this and go, I'm going to set the example and not act crazy. I'm not going to run all over the place with stress, and I'm just going to live this moment. I think it's really important, but it requires surrendering to him. That's it. So let's just stop to think about Christ and Christmas and its impact. One scientist, Peter Stoner, applied the modern science of probability to just 8 prophecies regarding Christ, and he says the chance that any man might have fulfilled all 8 prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power, 100 quadrillion. But Jesus fulfilled dozens more prophecies, but this just concerned 8. Imagine, this is one of those good Christmas trivia issues that many people do not know. And Randy's going to share about Charles Schulz and a Charlie Brown Christmas.
Ah, and Linus and Snoopy and all.
Love them.
Big man.
and you know, just a little backup on some people, you know, they even claim, oh, well, Christmas isn't true because, you know, Jesus wasn't born on that day, or, you know, they're citing the fact that, well, he was really 13 when the wise men came and all this other stuff. And, oh, it's a pagan holiday. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, so there's so much that people can say, whether they're Christians or not.
Right.
But we can't get hung up on all that.
We can't.
You know, history and where it happened and when it really happened. Yeah. We have the story.
Yes.
Whenever it happened, it happened. However old he was, he was.
He was. That's
but
it.
But it happened. Right. And it has changed the world.
It has.
So you can argue all those little silly points.
Sure you can.
But you can't argue that his ministry and his ability that he gave us yes. to have eternal life has changed the world.
It has changed the world. And I love that we get to see that. I mean, our Savior is alive. He you is. Can go to any other founder of religions, and you can go to their gravesite. You can't do that with our founder.
Well, you can go there. It's empty,
though. It's empty. There's nothing there.
That's right. And another thing is, if you're of the mind that says, eh, I don't know, that Jesus factor thing, it's a, yeah, you have to surrender. I don't know how. I don't know. You know what? If you have doubts, try it.
Right. What would it hurt?
Yeah. What do you got to lose?
Exactly.
Jesus will change your life if you only surrender and give him a chance.
Exactly.
If you're afraid to give him a chance, then you really don't understand.
That's exactly right. That's good.
So on to the Charles Schulz, Charlie Brown Christmas. So the animated story, A Charlie Brown Christmas, airs on one of the major television networks just about every year. The two producers who worked closely with Charlie Brown, creator Charles Schulz, you may remember them, Charles Schulz says he remembered their desperate efforts to convince a network to show the special originally. All the major networks were hesitant. Finally, one agreed, and the great cartoonist got to work. A memorable and moving part of A Charlie Brown Christmas occurs when the cartoon character Linus strolls to center stage and reads the biblical account of the meaning of Christmas. We all remember that.
Yes.
The two producers working with Schulz cautioned him about putting something like that in the special because they were convinced it wouldn't go over well. Charles Schulz faced both of the producers and said, if not us, then who's going to do it?
And in that story, he told them that he would pull the plug on the whole thing if they did not allow him to read that, you know, in the Linus and the Christmas courage. Story.
And so when you think about over the years, how many people, how many children in our culture and around the world have seen Snoopy and the Peanuts Christmas, Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yes.
And because Charles Schulz was a man of integrity and
Amen.
Said, this is going to happen or I'm not doing it, look at how many millions of people heard the story yes. of Jesus, the Christmas story.
Amazing.
And are still hearing it today
amazing.
Through that cartoon.
Right. And guys, don't you all love it when you go into a department store and they are playing Christmas hymns? Not just rocking around mm-hmm. the Christmas tree, but they are playing hymns. It's the only time of the year this happens, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly right.
And that's why we have to take advantage. And listen, I feel impressed to say this. If you're feeling some depression or loneliness right now, reach out to somebody. You know, get you a pastor, get some friends, because I know, and we all know in this room, that loneliness can be real.
Yes.
Depression can
yes.
be real. So guys, don't walk away from that opportunity to begin to deal with it.
So author John Ortberg wrote a very insightful and impactful article on six ways Jesus' birth changed the world. And we've been talking about, you know, he's changed the world.
Right.
So let's stop and consider the impact of the birth of Jesus for a few minutes. Six ways Jesus' birth changed the world. The first way is children. In the ancient world, children were routinely left to die of exposure, particularly if they were girls. And, you know, but Jesus' treatment of and teachings about children led to the forbidding of those practices as well as orphanages. You know, a Norwegian scholar, he wrote a study about this. When children become people, the birth of childhood and early Christianity. So children was one of the ways. The second way that Jesus changed the world is education. The ancient world loved education, but tended to reserve it for the elite.
Mm-hmm.
Even way back in the ancient world, just the elite people were the ones who were educated. The notion that every child bore God's image helped fuel the move for universal literacy.
Yes.
Love of learning led to monasteries. Universities such as Cambridge, Oxford, and Harvard all began as Jesus-inspired efforts to love God with all ones in mind.
That is so encouraging.
It is, but look where Look where those universities are today because of all the wokeness and liberalness. It's terrible.
Yes.
But
anti-God.
Anti-Semitic.
Yeah. Anti-Semitic. Yeah. There
but
you go.
It'd be nice for them to do a little study themselves on the history of those universities and where they were inspired from.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's look at the next one on compassion. Jesus' compassion for the poor and the sick led to institutions for lepers. The beginning of modern-day hospitals came as a result of the birth of Christ. That's why even today the hospitals have names, many of them like Good Samaritan, Good Shepherd, or St. Anthony, St. Joseph. They were the world's first voluntary charitable institutions.
Look at that.
Because Jesus came. Then humility. The ancient world did not value the virtue of humility, but Jesus' life as a foot-washing servant would eventually lead to the adoption of humility as a widely admired virtue. Historian John Dixon writes, "It is unlikely that any of us would aspire to this virtue were it not for the historical impact of Jesus and his crucifixion."
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And then forgiveness, he mentions. In the ancient world, virtue meant rewarding your friends and punishing your enemies. An alternative idea came from Galilee. What is best in life is to love your enemies and see them reconciled to you.
That's very good.
Wow. What a difference a child made.
What a difference. And humanitarian reform. Jesus consistently championed the excluded. His inclusion of women led to a community to which women flocked in disproportionate numbers. Slaves, up to a third of the ancient populations, might wander into churches or a church fellowship and have a slave owner wash their feet rather than beat them. One ancient text instructed bishops not to interrupt worship to greet a wealthy attender, but to sit on the floor to welcome the poor. Amazing. One article said, physicians moved to tears by Jesus' advocacy for children.
That's it.
So there's a lot of that we can write. Should we read through that? Or?
Well, you know, one of the comments, if we just make a couple of comments on this, the man who was the professor of pediatrics, Paul Offit, I love this statement. It says, Offit now calls Christianity the single greatest breakthrough against child abuse in history.
Ooh,
guys, that is powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He notes that the first Christian emperor of Rome outlawed infanticide in 315 and provided a nascent form of welfare in 321 so poor families would not have to sell their kids. Unreal.
That is unbelievable.
That was all because Jesus Christ was born.
Right. Yes, and so you think through that a little bit. So Jesus was born, he became an adult, his ministry started. From that ministry, he adopted the 12 apostles.
Right.
And from those people, Jesus sent them out. We all have been reaping the benefits, our society, of all these things we just read, things like a hospital.
Yes.
You know, that who would ever think that?
Yeah.
You know? When you're going to a hospital, this is here because of Jesus' teachings that created the ability to start a hospital and caring.
Exactly. One more child. That's a good example as well.
I mean, and a virtue, you know, a virtue like humility and compassion started, and we all see it today based on 2,000 years ago or so when Jesus came and created this concept of humility.
That's a truth.
And compassion for others, and it's been adopted throughout humanity over years and years and years, and we're basically we're receiving the benefits of today in our society, and people don't even think about that and realize this is happening because of Jesus coming.
That's exactly right. And our job, guys, especially, our job is to lead our families spiritually.
Yes.
So whatever you do, you be planning to come to at least a New Year, not New Year's, but Christmas Eve service. And find a church to do that. We would love to have you at City Central here in Lakeland, but find a church you can go to at least on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Expose your children to the Word of God and don't let them miss Christmas. Instead, Let them stop for Christmas and think. Amen. You know, you can never deny the impact of this God, this man, Jesus Christ. And thank God for Christmas. Never lose sight that it is all about Jesus. So we encourage you to stop right now. Thank God for Jesus, God's indescribable gift.
Amen.
We're so glad you listened to our podcast today and share it with other people. We're excited about a lot of exciting things happening here at Wingman Nation that we'll be hearing about. But we just want to focus on the Christmas season for a few podcasts and encourage you that even the tough time of the year can be a God-centered, exciting time of the year as well. Embrace that. But yes. Until next time.
Wingman out.
Wingman Men's Moment Podcast is brought to you courtesy of the Wingman Nation Men's Ministry. Visit us at wingmannation.com.